it's time for Douglas County Real Estate Update, presented by Oregon Life Homes on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Shane Mast back on with us this week. And Shane, how's it going in the world of real estate?
It's still busy.
I imagine that seems to be what we're hearing. What are we going to cover this morning?
Oh, our last time we had started talking about the steps of buying a house, and we got through meeting your real estate agent and choosing one, financing, making an offer, getting it accepted, and opening escrow. And today I was going to finish with what happens after you get an accepted offer.
All right. Well, obviously people are elated, but that's kind of just the start of the next process.
It is. That's the one where a lot of times, especially if you're doing it for sale by owner, that's when a lot of times people start getting a little bit lost. Like, okay, we got it under contract. Let's close this thing. Well, there's a lot of steps that happen before you close that deal.
Yeah. What are some of those things that have to take place?
Well, the first thing you want to do when you get an offer accepted is you want to start, this is from the buyer side, you want to start shopping for homeowners insurance. Generally, you want to get at least two different quotes from two different companies. Your agent will be able to tell you if your home's in the floodplain, so you have to also get a different quote for flood insurance. So that would be number one once you get accepted. There are five contingencies built into the Oregon sale agreement, which also some people call that an earnest money agreement or an offer. But officially it's called a residential sale agreement. There are five contingencies, and a contingency is something that has to be met to the buyer's expectations, or they can pull out and get their earnest money back. The first contingency that pops up is almost always the inspection period. And people a lot of times will ask, do I need an inspection? This house, you know, it's only 10 years old or whatever. And my answer is always, yes, you need to get a home inspection. So you can hire a professional inspector that will go in and look at the stuff that we can't see from the surface. They will crawl the crawl space, go underneath, look for standing water, look for any rodent issues or insect issues. They will climb up into the attic and look for leaks and things like that you can't see from walking through a house. So that inspection period is generally a two-week period unless you change it. You can extend it. You can make it lower if you want, especially if you're in a multiple offer situation, to make your offer more attractive. But that, to me, that's the number one thing that you need to do when buying a house after you get under contract. You need to get a good inspector and get a really good, thorough home inspection. It could save you tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, I mean, it's the biggest investment you're ever going to make, likely, and it only makes sense to kind of do some due diligence before you jump in and just cross your fingers.
Exactly. And it's usually roughly $400 for a home inspection, and it would likely save you a lot more than that in the long run. After the inspection, the report will come back, and either the buyer will be satisfied or they might have to ask the seller for repairs. One thing that most people don't realize in Oregon is that every home is sold as is. So, which means that the seller doesn't have to do any repairs. So if the buyer requests them and the seller says no, the deal would just be off. So if you can't come to agreement on what needs to be repaired, the deal would be off. And since inspection is a contingency, the buyer gets their earnest money back, the house would go back on the market.
What else do we need to know?
Yeah, so there's two other things that happen usually concurrent with that. There's the seller property disclosures. So the seller has to give a buyer a disclosure statement saying everything that they know that's wrong with the property. So when a buyer receives that, they have 5 days to review that and get out for anything in that report. Sometimes it's an easement or it's a shared well, or it could be a lot of different things that they disclose. At the same time, the title company is diligently working on a title report. So contingency number three, for one was inspection, two is seller property disclosure, and the third is the preliminary title report. So the title report is going to make sure that the title of the property is free and clear, meaning there's no encumbrances on the title. that the seller is going to pass on to the buyer. For example, there could be a construction lien where the seller got some work done but failed to pay, and then the contractor would have put a lien on the property. That has to be paid through escrow or title will not close it. So the title report is contingency number three. The fourth contingency is if you get past inspections, title looks good, disclosures look good, your lender will send an appraiser to the house. So the difference between an inspection and an appraisal inspection is the home inspection, they work for the buyer. Only the buyer gets a copy of the home inspection. The lender doesn't get it. The seller doesn't get it. When the appraisal comes out, they work for the bank. So they're looking for major items. It's not a very thorough home inspection. It's mostly looking for value. They want to make sure if they're going to lend you $350,000 and you don't make a payment on the house, that they can foreclose and get their $350,000 back. So the appraisal usually happens sometime 3 to 4 weeks into the transaction, and this is when everybody is on pins and needles waiting for this appraisal report to come back to see if they can close the deal. So if the appraisal comes back at what you want to hear is at value, no conditions, that means we can move to close. If it's low, then say it's 350 in the contract and the appraiser says, I only see the value is 325. This comes another negotiation between the buyer and the seller. So the buyer would want, okay, it's 325. I don't want to pay more than 325. And the seller is like, well, you said you'd pay 350, so you need to come up with the difference. It's another thing that having a good agent on either side of that negotiation is going to help you come on top. Generally, there's going to be some kind of meet in the middle where both parties are not 100% happy, that both parties give a little bit.
And we've got one more to talk about, right?
Yep, the last contingency, and it's the one that goes all the way to the day of close, is financing. So your buyer's earnest money is protected by their ability to retain their pre-approval. So different things that can change that, loss of a job, and we have had this happen many times where people lose their job the day before they're going to close. The bank will call your employer a second time for employment verification the day before close, sometimes the day of close. And if your employer says they no longer work here, you lose your financing. Now, it doesn't happen very often, but it does. And because of that circumstance, that is the longest running contingency. It starts on day one and does not end until the property closes. And if they do lose their job, like I said, the deal would be terminated and the buyer would get their earnest money. It's kind of a bummer for them, but it's a bigger bummer probably maybe for the seller, who just took their house off the market for 45 days and doesn't even get the earnest money. They have to give that back.
Wow. A lot of things involved here, a lot of things to know. And for the average person, because this is likely your biggest investment, it seems only logical to talk to a real estate agent and try to navigate this by yourself.
Absolutely. Unless you are somebody that does this for a living, like a flipper or somebody that owns multiple rental properties and they're buying and selling a lot, I would highly recommend getting a real estate agent. That we do this for a living. We do it every day. We train constantly to make sure we're up on all the rules and the laws. And also, we just have a lot of contact. It's said that over 40 people touch a real estate transaction, from lenders, title, escrow, appraisals, all of that. And we have, as agents, we have relationships with all 40 of those people. So we can get information, we can see when things aren't as they should be and ask the right questions to get our borrowers into a situation where they understand it and where they're at a good spot.
So how do folks contact you?
You can always, I think the easiest way is just to Google Oregon Life Homes. We are located on Garden Valley. We're currently the number one company in Douglas County. We've only been a company for 14 and a half months, but we are currently number one in units sold, and we are number one in the amount of volume sold in Douglas County, and we're just getting started.
All right, Shane Mast, Oregon Life Homes. Shane, thanks for being on this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.